Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yo, they came and got my man off. Time to hear the general speak. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the round table is the Wartang Clan, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. We got a great show for you today. We'll talk NBA, of course. We'll talk midseason NFL with USA Today NFL reporter Robert Klimko. And in about 30 minutes, we'll talk hip-hop and sports with rising Philly MC Chill Moody. Join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now so you can get in on these conversations at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline a little later at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, quick shout to the members of the conglomerate. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel Sports Trap Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear all of our partner shows at worldroomsports.blogspot.com. Finally, don't forget to catch us in syndications 3 times on Friday on newvibradio.com. That's NUVIBE radio.com. And we're on 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on our newest network, FATZRadio.com. That's PHATZRadio.com. We're glad to be a part of the family, and we're ecstatic to welcome the FATZ Radio listeners to the War Room family. But right now, I'd like to introduce all our newbies to Jimmy the Blueprint for our birthday segment.
My birthday! Yay!
What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on? Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Yo, we keep getting picked up by more radio stations, yo. It's going to take a half hour just to intro the show.
No.
With that being said, man, for those listening for the first time, my name is Jimmy. They call me the Blueprint, and they also call me the newest member of the Illuminati. But it's time to talk some sports birthdays. And the birthdays, by the way, are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, that includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, which is warroomsports.com. You'll see a DirecTV logo. Click on it. You'll get a special hookup price. And everybody loves a hookup. Let's talk about some sports birthdays, gentlemen. The first birthday I want to bring to you was one Maurice Eugene Evans, who turns 34.
My birthday! Yay!
Dev, when I say Maurice Evans, what comes to mind?
Maurice Evans, I don't know. He had a serviceable NBA career. Most recently, I remember that he's, I think he's like the vice president of the Players Association under Derek Fisher. So he may be next in line to take that, to take on that task. Being in Washington last year, he seemed to be, you know, when their roster was kind of in flux with all the little young, immature dudes, he seemed to be the only mature dude on a team full of immature dudes. So he was always the one trying to keep everybody in line, give them those talks, even though he's not that great of a player. You know, he tried to appeal to them with his mature side. I don't really think it worked. So they had to ship a lot of people out of Washington. But that's what I remember about Maurice.
No doubt.
Is he even with anybody now?
No, I have no.
No.
I had, I have nothing at all to say about Maurice Evans. That's the kind of impact he's made on my life as a sports fan.
Yo.
Be awesome. When I say Maurice Evans to you, what comes to mind?
Yo, brave men die once in a glorious death. Cowards die a thousand times, and so do bums. And so this is why this man has played almost 1,000 games in the NBA, because each night is like him dying,
man,
when you watch it. Yo, he's terrible.
Coming at Mo Evans,
he's terrible. He's terrible. He's terrible. His whole family's terrible.
Yo, all right, man, we moving on right now, man. Let's
like, no, Maurice, you're not that bad. You jump high and you shoot threes well.
Yeah, all right, brother, man. You going through something this evening? Like, oh,
yeah, man. My candidate didn't get elected.
from the Green Party?
Exactly.
Listen, man. Anyway, let's move on to the next birthday. That's one Brevin, middle name and in Knight, who turns 37.
My birthday! Yay!
I'm going to start with you this time. Brevin Knight's birthday. What do you think when I say the name Brevin Knight?
Yo, I think that he wasn't that good, but I always liked his game and liked watching him play, even though he couldn't really shoot. And, you know, he was cool with some of the brothers in the war room and used to bust it up with us. So shout out to him. Happy birthday. He's probably not much better than Maurice Evans.
So what I'm getting ready to say is, because you personally know the gentleman, that makes him – he's cool. You like watching him play, even though he's on the same level as the last one. That's what you're saying?
Nah, he's a little above the last one.
You know what I'm saying? And if Brevin Knight played point guard, man, what's that with point guards not being able to shoot? That's another story. Yeah.
Yo, you know what, though? Brev could run the pick and roll rather nicely, though. I will say that. Brev's pick and roll game was all right.
You remembered that about him,
again,
huh?
Because he knows him, he's going to think of something to say positive about him. Mm-hmm. Brevin Knight.
Yo, I was listening to what B. Austin said, and I was thinking, like, I thought Brevin Knight was a very solid player, but I didn't care two shats about watching him play. He wasn't exciting or anything. He was a solid point guard. Jump shot wasn't like that. But he definitely could run a team, and he was a great defender. But, you know, as far as me, like, sitting down like, yo, Brev Knight playing today, like, that's not going to happen. But shout out to Brev Knight on his birthday.
His birthday is kind of weak, man. We got two mediocre players. Let's go to this birthday right here. How about Kwadi?
November 8th, Conan.
Now we're going below mediocre.
Come on, man. Not Kwadri Ishmael. Kwadri Ishmael turns 42. Dad, I'm going to start with you. Kwadri Ishmael.
Kwadri was the younger brother only by a year. Like, Rocket Ishmael's birthday is literally November 8th November 18th. 1 year before Kwadri, so his parents got busy as soon as they could. He was a younger brother. I guess he was the lesser of the two. They both were pretty fast. He was the missile. His brother was the rocket. But, you know, there's not much to say about Kwadri Ishmael except for happy birthday, man. I'll let B. Austin diss him now.
Yeah, B. Austin.
Yo, much like all the members of the Lox, yo, the boy looked like he could double in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's all you got to say about the boy, man?
Welcome to the War Room, new listeners.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Your hands suck. You was with Joey Galloway down in Cowboy Land, and you had to come out of your breaks and actually watch the ball because you weren't nice with the hand game.
As I said,
you make people feel good on their birthdays, man.
FOH to quadrational. Yo. Last birthday. Now you gotta say something good about this gentleman. It's Robert Kleckner.
No, I don't either.
AKA Bobby Bowden turns 83.
My birthday, yay!
What is a Klecker?
Wait, hold on.
A Klecker sounds like a.
You think Austin being a diehard Penn State fan, a diehard Joe Paterno fan, is gonna say something
already
nice about
loaded
Bobby
up.
Bowden?
I'm turned up for my Southern folks. I'm ready.
Shout out to the homie DJ Willie G. I see you listening. But Bobby Bowden, man, what you got to say about him, B. Austin? I'm going to let you rock first.
Yo, first of all, listen, we are not typically black protectionists in the war room, but the way Bobby Bowden coached, yo, he had a megaphone and he stood on top of a tower in practice with a large, big hat And all I could think of when watching their practices was going close to the gun line, boss. Going close to the gun line. Stepping back over the gun line, boss. Stepping back over the gun line. And when you talk X's and O's with the dude, yo, his X's and O game was not really that good. He would just get the best and brightest talent, typically African-American, and put the best athletes out there. He didn't care if they could read. He didn't care if they had a playbook. Come on, man. Bobby Bowden. And he was happy. Dev, now don't front. Don't front. When you saw the interview, you too, Jimmy, didn't he look happy? Even though he was like, Joe Paterno was always my friend, and I was looking forward to him making it to the end. He was happy that Joe ended up in that situation.
As far as Division 1A wins, I believe. That put him in the lead.
They made him quit, and they couldn't make Joe quit, so he was a little salty that they put him out the pasture.
Dev, what's your opinion of one Robert Klecker, Bobby Bowden, man?
I don't have anything to say after that, man. Florida State used to be one of the dominant programs in college football. Shout out to Klecker on his birthday.
I got nothing to say about that, Paul, man. Yo, Dev, do me a favor and tell everybody what happened this week while they don't want to grind.
All right, I'm going to do that. Austin, you're in rare form tonight. He's killing everybody. So, all right, everybody, while you were on the grind, is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. You can just go to our website, warroomsports.com, to our sponsors page, click on the Bay Financial Services logo, read all about the company, and get your money right. Fellas, Kobe, that's a lot of noise, huh? Kobe now plans to play until he's 40. Remember a few weeks ago, he was kind of saying when his contract was up with the Lakers, which is two more years, and he might, he might call it quits then, but now he feels kind of revitalized because he had, Dwight Howard now, Steve Nash, so he's thinking he can play till 40. Do you guys think if he plays till 40, it'll even be in a Lakers uniform, Jim?
I think it depends upon whether or not Mike Clown is there. Because if they continue playing the way they play, he may come out next week and say he's done at 37. So,
But Kobe said he want to play until he's a man.
Come after me! I'm a man. I'm 40.
He want to play until he's a man. So, Austin, what do you think about Kobe's plan to play until he's 40? That'll be 23 years in the league. Do you think he should do that? He'll definitely get Kareem's record if he does that.
One of the things that I've come to realize about most prodigies and people that are so uberly good and competitive, let's be real here, man. What else can Kobe be good at but basketball?
He's not one of those dumb jocks, though. He's
highly intelligent. He's an intelligent guy, but that's to say that he's good at anything. Yo, he don't want to be at home with his wife, man. I mean, come on, man. I'm not surprised.
They got an agreement. That ain't even his wife.
And the way that boy went to see the Wizard down in Houston, I can see him playing at a high level, at least until 38.
Until 38. So the rest of the league going to be telling him this.
You know what? You're not going to be pucking me when we get 40. I'm letting you know that right now.
All the two guards going to be saying, you're going to be punking me when we're 40, man. All right, this is an interesting story coming out of the Charlotte area. Charlotte high school quarterback was ejected from a state playoff game for imitating Cam Newton's Superman touchdown celebration. Do you guys think the high school officials went a little too far with that?
Of course they did.
Yeah, man. Wow. Y'all so serious, man. That's all.
They're calling it a taunt. But is that necessarily a taunt?
No. You know, we played in the pub in Philly, so if this is the case, you got kicked out of every game we played in because all we did was taunt. You know what I'm saying? I just don't get it, man. Like, everybody's so sensitive these days, man.
Yo, man, they turning these kids into androgynous blobs. Like, everybody gets an award, whether they win or lose. If you come in last place, you're supposed to be celebrated. Don't point at them and tease them because they're losers and you're winners. Be nice to them. Yo, get the – yo, man, I ain't going to curse on the air, man. Yo, let that boy have fun. He scores a touchdown. If he wants come on, man.
No, he was from West Mecklenburg High, and his name was Jalen McClendon. He got kicked out of the game. Luckily, his team won the game 45-10 over Hugh High in the first round of the state 4AA playoffs. The good thing about it, because Cam Newton weighed in, and he was saying that the situation was unfortunate, and he was like, you know, that's bad because where I'm from, if you get kicked out for taunting, you have to sit out the next game. But in this particular league, that's not the case. He just had to sit out for the rest of the game. He will be available for the team's next romp in the state tournament. So, you know, I think it was a little simple for the officials to do that. But at the same time, it didn't hurt the team. So that probably went into their decision. Like, you know, they're killing these dudes anyway. And he doesn't have to sit out the next game. So all's well that ends well. He's Superman on them dudes.
It's trash. It's trash. Yeah,
he's Superman on them. All right, story out of Minnesota. I'm gonna see what Austin think about this one, man. Some local civil rights leaders in Minneapolis are upset and speaking out because they feel that the roster of the Minnesota Timberwolves is too white. Tyrone Terrell, the chairman of the Twin Cities African American Leadership Council, is not happy with the racial makeup of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Y'all think he has a case? Y'all think he needs to go somewhere?
He needs to go somewhere very high up from the earth and jump off. He is one of the people that were – he's one of these black protectionist folks that was on – Facebook and social media talking about if Mitt Romney gets elected, he's going to move to Saint-Tropez and live on a tent in the beach to get away from Mitt Romney. FOH. Hey, no, you're not. And the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't too white. They're playing basketball, for God's sake. What's wrong with people? What's wrong? White people can't play basketball now in the NBA?
You know,
really?
You know what it is, man? Because every situation that comes up, like, it seems like the race card is pulled. Now, none of us none of us here are naive enough to think that, you know, racism is gone in America. We know that it's prevalent. You know, it's there every day. But if black people keep pulling the race card for the wrong reason,
it ain't gonna have
it'll
no
be
value.
Like the little boy crying wolf. When racism really ratchets up, you know, people are going to just keep telling people to just go somewhere and sit down because we pull the race card on every single issue.
Yo, this story is kind of hilarious. So, like, who would ever think that they would say an NBA team is too white?
Exactly.
Yo, hilarious.
Because they have, in their 15-man roster, they have 10, you know, 5 black players and the rest white, you know, or European from overseas, whatever. First of all, they have to realize where their team is located. So when free agency comes along, you're short. You're short as far as getting the best players. So now they're going with a plan to basically be the San Antonio Spurs and get as many people from outside of the U.S. that they possibly can. But I don't know if it's if they're doing this purposely.
I'll be honest, I like diversity in the league because I'm getting tired of seeing players that haven't developed much in the skill area and seem to depend on being able to have a 45-inch vertical and run fast and dribble. I like seeing folks that play the game cerebrally.
So what you're saying is that white players play a more cerebral game? Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is I like to see guys play the game.
You like sugar and you like tea. That's what you're saying.
I like sugar and I like tea. Yes, sir.
That's what you're saying, man. Listen, man. I'm
on my Uncle Ruckus joint tonight.
Yo, all I'm saying is that this is a non-story. Dude wanted some attention. He got his attention. At the end of the day, the team stinks anyway. So within a couple of years, I bet you they have some problems on their team.
Yeah, he a Jesse Jackson type bull. He's just trying to get on the forefront of something. The news cycle is slow for the civil rights movement, so he got to do what he got to do. The people hating us right now.
I don't care. All
right, USC man, Lane Kiffin, young boy. He has a little problem down in USC right now. His dad, the great Monty Kiffin, is his defensive coordinator, but the downfall of the USC Trojans this year has been their defense. They just got 62 hung on them last week by Oregon. Fellas, if you were a coach on any level, could you fire your dad?
No, so I wouldn't hire him. I wouldn't hire him to begin with because I couldn't fire him. Like, as soon as I got ready and I built myself up and I said, yo, I'm going to fire this dude. I don't care if he brought me in this world. I'm going to take him out. Man, I walk in that room and I punk up because that's my pop.
Yo, man.
And I back down.
Man. First off, man, rest in peace to my pop. With that being said, there's no way I probably could.
R.I.P.
So, like Austin, I don't know if I could have hired him in the first place. Because it's not as simple. Like, I had this conversation earlier, and Monica was like, well, listen, you have to, like, lay down and let them know what it's going to be before you start, and that way it wouldn't be hard, yo. When emotions get into play, yo, there's no way you can fire your pop, yo. It's just too difficult. It's too difficult. I feel sorry that he's in this dilemma, but at the end of the day, their defense does stink.
Okay, so
you know,
so what do you suggest he do if he can't fire his dad? You're just going to let him mess up his
you know,
team until he dies or something?
Yo, Lane Kiffin, man. Let me tell you about Lane Kiffin, man. Lane
you try to kill him?
Yo, he won't think of something because Lane Kiffin thinks of things that I've never thought of before. So,
yo.
Did you know that? Did you see what he did with not the Tampa 2. I'm sorry, not yo.
You mean Monty
I'm talking about the son. Not Monty.
You're talking about
Lane
Kiffin, yeah, Lane.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
some
yeah,
of the
yeah.
stuff that he does is out of control, and it's like, who thinks of it? So he'll think of a way. For instance, he was having his players switch jerseys on the sideline so the opposing team didn't know who was who. And, you know, he got away with
yo,
it.
That's hot.
I was about to say, is that legal?
Yo, that's hot.
Yo, it's one of them things. It's one of them things where it's supposed to be illegal, but it's never, like, enforced, and nobody ever does it. Nobody had never had the gonads to do it. But he was doing this kind of stuff. And it's like he always thinks outside the box as a coach. He does, like, things that are, like, right there on the line. So with that being said, he's a thinking man. So he'll find a way to get rid of his pop without taking any kind of culpability. Watch.
What I don't understand is, yo, Lane Kiffin was one of the – or Monty Kiffin, rather, was one of the founders of the Tampa 2 defense, which is basically 50% of the league runs a version of the 2. Of that mm-hmm. of that Tampa, well, I wouldn't say 50%, a third.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see what he practices not being able to work unless they're not in the personnel that can run it.
But you also got to understand it worked on a professional level. He's dealing with college athletes, so their understanding of all the nuances of that defense may be a little bit different. He's not dealing with professionals. And also, you got to understand that his pop is up there in age, too. So he's probably calling him. He probably like, fuck, get over here. You know, calling him the wrong names and everything. Or...
So you're saying he's just going to have to ride this out to old head, you know?
Yeah, more or less.
If he can keep his job,
way.
If he can keep his job long enough, because USC was supposed to be strong this year. And, you know.
But from what I've read, his pop actually turned down a pro job to go, like, coach for his son. So he also turned down some bread.
He did.
Yeah, I think he was basically tired of that, the NFL life, so he went back.
For those out there listening, man, let us know. Would you be able to fire your pop? Yo, hit us on Twitter.
Could you fire your dad?
Could you fire your pop?
Could you fire your dad? Also for our listeners, please, this is B. Austin. If y'all want to call up and explain to me what a klecker is, I'm interested in knowing what a kleckler is. Why Bobby Bowden keep his name a klecker.
I hope it's a situation where, because, you know, it's ratcheting up in the media a little bit, I hope it's a situation where the dude realizes that he's putting his son's job in jeopardy and maybe at the end of the season, step down.
Good point.
No doubt.
Good point.
No doubt. Anyway, man. All right.
So, B. Austin, man, you want to tell everybody?
Yeah, tell everybody.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody to get in touch with us. After you do that, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back on with our guests. So let them people know.
Let them know. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog, best blog in the universe. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, or to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app for your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Yeah, that's right. We have a TV station and channel, warroomstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows.
All right, so let's go to the phone lines real quick.
Yeah, go to phone lines before we...
We got Jared from Philly. Jared, you're in The War Room, brother. What you want to say? Would you fire your pop?
Listen, man, it's like this. If he's not doing the job that I hired him for, as much as I love my pop, he brought me in this world, and I appreciate everything he did. You gotta go, Doug.
He's putting your job in jeopardy.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? So that don't help the family at all. You see what I'm saying? Because if we both lose our jobs, because you messing up, then what we going to do? How we going to eat?
It would be a little difficult, man. You know what I'm saying? But that's real though.
Like, I love my pop to death, man. But if we both, because this ain't, they gonna fire both of them if he don't fire his pop. That's the real, and he should know that already. So,
yo, if I was
your
pop, I'd knock you the F out. But I respect you keeping it 100.
I'm saying though, if you can't get the job, then I'll give him a chance. So, you know, whatever the case may be. But look, dog, if it come down to either you or me and you.
He's like,
well,
you
got, I love my pop, man. Exactly. Like, listen, if you ain't employed and I ain't employed, what we gonna do?
Yeah,
you're
right.
That's real, man.
All right, Jared. Thanks for your call, man.
All right, Jared. Thanks, bro.
All right, it was good talking to y'all, man. All right,
you too.
Yeah, no doubt.
He kept it real. You would have to find a way to be able to do it, man. You have to find a way to do it.
Yeah, man. That's a bad situation the brother's in, but that's why you're making that bread. So he got to make those decisions, man.
Right. All right, so while we wait for our guest, we can just talk. We can go into a few hot topics real quick.
No doubt.
Hot topics brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/worldroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. I don't know if you guys, especially for the first-time listeners, you know, we have something that we do once in a while called Rant Mail. You can get the information on our newsletter if you actually go to our website, worldroomsports.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You can get that. And we have a rant mail that we'd like to play real quick from one of our favorite fans in the Washington, D.C. area. He's excited that basketball is starting, college basketball, that is. So this is a rant mail of the day from Patrick Waring.
Hey, what's going on, War Room? This is Patrick Waring, just checking in with you guys. Hey, look, man, I know everybody or a lot of people are tired and drained from the politics that's been going on in the election, but look on the bright side. College basketball starts tomorrow. Ooh. Man, it's the best time of year, if you ask me. You combine that with the NBA and NFL, can't lose. We got tomorrow, we're kicking off. You're going to see some local DMV representation tomorrow. You got Maryland and Kentucky. Then you also have Florida playing our beloved Hoyas down there in Jacksonville. Look, man, the college season is going to be good for teams, but it's a long season. You know how that goes. We got some freshmen out there, Muhammad in UCLA, Noel playing with Kentucky. We had Bennett with UNLV. We got a lot going on. And we also had Big Dog's son playing in Michigan. So it's a lot going on out there. So I want everybody to tune in tomorrow night, Georgetown, man, Otto Porter. He's going to be representing, leading the Hoyas. Everybody's going to get a look at Moses. We haven't seen him yet. Got a couple freshmen with Smith, Rivera, and Domingo. Starks is going to try to steady the team. Things should be looking good, man. Things should be looking good. Check y'all out. I'll let y'all in on.
All right, yo, Pat, quick, thanks for your rant mail for the day.
Hmm? The only thing, the thing I noticed about that, yo, is I'm getting old. He said Big Dog's son is going to be playing this year.
I know, right?
Ain't that crazy, man?
That's crazy. But thanks for your rant mail of the week, Patrick Guerin out of D.C. So we'll be right back after this for our Hip Hop and Sports Part 4.
Before we even get started, rest in peace to Marquise Scott. Love you, boy. This one's for you.
Welcome to The Price is Nine. I'm your host, Wes Weinstein. And please give it up for our orchestra led by the great Wes Manchild. We have an array of prizes to give away today. And our first contestant is coming from West Philadelphia.
Billy.
Jill Moody, come on
my
down.
My life's dedicated to them, never saying I never made it. Already told them that, now it's time to show them that. Said he don't love you, bro, so there's no holding back. Aaron Rodgers grabbing a snap, couldn't control the fact. Establishment of the crew that I rep. No defeat, got me shocked if we lose the step. And see, never that, I'll stomp all over this beat. They sleep, these rappers glucose off and they goof coaching me. Well, I be the most lyrical being with more bane in the windows of parents. Said the game died, can't front, I shed a tear through. Hip hop revitalized, call it a miracle. Fall from spiritual, cause mass hysteria. All eyes on me, I'm flying in malaria. Nice is on the scene whenever I'm in your area. Benevolence is evident, the evidence, I tear it up. Rapper chopping them onions, I got them searing up. Cause they can see the end of this man. Sitting written with no pension at an engine career. I'm about to build up my buzz soon as I finish this beer. I'm about to build up my buzz soon as I finish this beer. I take another sip and sit and spit the same type crap. They need no brother hit. I'm reaching best, well connected, keep my ethernet. Preaching best to teachers, but I'm nicer than these other kids. C-H-I, no Lupe. Double L Moody got a cover like Toothpaste. I'm brushing in toothpaste. Confident today, don't add me to the game. I'm MJ on 2K, a new day. What's let the loop play? Married to the game, hip-hop through a bouquet. Take advantage of the track, I slipped in a roof fade. And move smooth play like I'm cooking a boot play.
Nice thing.
Fuck with the...
War Room family, for the first time we have in the War Room, one of the illest lyricists out of Philadelphia, PA, the homie Chill Moody. What's good, Chill?
What's up with the what's up, man?
Man, you already know, man.
Yo, what up, family?
We heard all the sports references in that jump right there. You know we digging that.
Yeah, y'all dug in the crates for that one. I ain't even hear that in a while. I got to go back to that.
No doubt, I got to listen to this again tonight.
Yeah, we actually had that one on the switchboard already from when Wes was on the show. So.
Right, yeah, right. Wes is part of the family. Wes is the family, man. But, man, thanks for joining us in the War Room this evening, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, let's jump right into it, man. Let's ask some questions about your past for those our fans who've never heard of you before. How long have you been rhyming, and what made you want to decide to do this as a career? How long did you know you want to do this?
I've been rhyming since, you know, as long as I can remember. I can remember, like, third grade talent shows, like, I mean, rhyming and them and anything. But after I graduated college a couple years ago, that's when I, like, really, really took it serious, started getting checks for doing it and things like that. So I graduated college, and I told my parents, you know, let me take a year, let me really go in, you know, follow my passion. And they was just like, go ahead. And, like, by, like, that January or whatever, I was on the radio out in Philly. So it's been, like, a snowball effect since then.
What's it like hearing yourself for the first time on the radio?
It's crazy. It was like I'm on a heartbeat when it's like, yo, stop singing everybody part. Like, no, we on the radio, we on the radio. It was like that. Like the first couple times I was on the radio, like, you know, I didn't hear it because I was on the radio. But then like the first time I actually heard it when I wasn't like at the station, I was at my cousin's crib and it came on and I'm like, yo, turn it off. Don't nobody want to hear it. And like, yo, you on the radio. I was like, oh, it was live.
Yeah, no doubt.
Wow. Yo, chill. This is B. Austin. I've been on Jimmy Top to get you on the show. I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you take me to a place in hip hop that nostalgically places me in happiness, man. Like real rap, you know what I'm saying? We from the 90s and what you bring to the table. I know I'm all geeked up, but it's something beautiful, man. So what MCs, no doubt, what MCs played a part in your inspiration to really start rhyming and taking it seriously?
I mean, I grew up on Wu-Tang. I grew up on Mobb Deep, Nas's, the Rakims. I think, like, either a Rakim line or, like, a Mobb Deep verse is probably, like, the first verse I learned in hip-hop. So I grew up on that, just trying to prove to my big cousins, like, I was cool enough to hang with them. So I grew up listening to that. And then when I, like, branched out to hear my, like, you know, be able to choose what I really wanted to listen to, that's when I got into the Nas and I was heavy on Snoop, you know, growing up. Just all, like, you know, the pioneers and things like that. I never really was into, like, the fluff and all those things.
Right, right.
No doubt. Chill, this is Dev. And speaking of the fluff, what are your thoughts on the current state of hip-hop and the type of stuff that gets the most radio airplay?
I mean, I was at the Nas concert last night, and he did one mic. And I'm like, yo, this used to be on the radio. Like, I know that because I know the edited version of this song, so I know it had to be on the radio. And I'm like, what happened to that? Like, Triumph used to get radio play and Stop Being Greedy and joints like that. Like, it wasn't like, it was, you could have aggressive content on radio. You could have pretty much anything on there. It was like what the people wanted to hear. And there's nothing wrong with the fluff, but I feel like the balance got messed up somewhere along the way. It used to be a nice balance of, you know, Tribe Called Quest and the Humpty Dance or something like that. But now it's like 90 Humpty Dances or something like that. Like,
exactly.
What's wrong with the Humpty Dance?
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said, there has to be some kind of balance, and I think they've definitely gone away from that. It seems like, you know, the radio is just for one specific type of fan now. And in my opinion, that's not really cool, so I don't really listen to the radio much. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we leave the radio off, man. It's strictly iPod. I listen to my old man. I'm old enough now to where I be listening to the music I said was old man music when I was a young boy. speaking of that, who's in your iPod, chill? Like, what's some of the stuff that we would find in your iPod? Who are some of your favorite artists right now?
You'll find a lot of beats because I'm working on a new album. You will find...
Okay.
Sean Price, I grabbed Sean Price, new joint.
Okay.
Kendrick is heavy in the rotation. Joe Budden is always in the rotation. Ghostface is always in the rotation. That's like the most heavy, like heavy in the rotation.
We got somebody in the chat room that's asking about Joe Budden.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some. We have some Joe Budden stans that are very close to the show.
Yo,
I mean, we love Joe. Shout out to Joe, but we try not to mention his name because of those stands.
Yo, we got, chill. We got Joe's biggest, like, two of Joe's biggest fans are like a fan.
Two
of
Joe's
but,
sons.
But yo, listen, though, one of the questions from the chat room is they know you've worked with him before. Would you be working with him at the truck when he's coming on here soon?
I think, what's that, Sunday, I think it is? I'm going to try to go through there. I'm not actually on the show, but I'm definitely going to go through there. Like, every time they come through the city, like, I'm a fan. So every time he comes to the city, I try to make sure I'm at the show. I think every show that he's had here, just him, I've opened. So there's been, like, three shows open for Joe Budden. So this will be the only time I'm actually not performing. I'm definitely going to be in the building.
And by the way, you just mentioned that Mike Tyson album, man. That's in heavy rotation.
Yeah,
on,
bully rap.
My
bully rap
man,
right there.
Like, but I had to, like, cut it off because I was getting ready to put some pins on and go attack somebody. That's that kind of music. Let's talk a little sports, though. You know you're from Philly, as we all are, and, I mean, even some of us aren't Eagles fans. I'm a Broncos fan personally, but anybody that follows you on Twitter knows you're a huge Vikings fan. So
yes.
How did that happen?
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all the real God-honest story. This is really how it happened. I might have been maybe 6 or 7 years old. And my older brother's friends used to always be over our crib, like, just tearing up the house, drinking out the milk carton, doing all kinds of stuff. So my mom used to say, y'all act like a bunch of Vikings. Man, me being a dumb young boy, I think they play for the Vikings. At that time, we had Robert Smith, Chris Carter, Warren Moon, then Randall, and then, like, I mean, we got it's all these black players. So I'm like, oh, that's Jimmy. Oh, that's my, I mean, so I just started liking this team.
Oh.
And I never changed my team.
Classic.
That's hilarious.
Hey, at least you're loyal, man. At least you're loyal. Yeah,
at least you kept it real.
Yeah, that's funny right there. All right, yo, the Vikings, they kind of surprise a lot of people, you know, at the halfway mark of the season. How
right.
far do you think they can go this season, especially in that tough division that they're playing in?
The division is looking like crazy right now. Like the Bears
right.
looking like unbeatable a little bit. Like they really ain't played too many tough teams, but they really just looking good. So I don't really know. I mean, we already had a better season than we had last year, so that's really all we could ask for at this point. I mean, last year we lost like 10 games by like one possession, so it could have turned around. We lost like 10 games by 7 points or less or something like that, so we could have really turned it around last season. But we started out good. I think we'll finish good. We'll finish with a winning record this year, definitely. But
they got some talent.
The way the division is looking, I don't really know about the playoffs, but the way the division is looking right now.
Yeah, because there's not too many can get in from one division, and that division
yeah.
is tough. But I actually visited the Dome for the first time last year when they were playing the Broncos. That was a pretty good game. I wasn't expecting it to be that good, but, you know, that was when Tim Tebow was doing all his magic and all that stuff. So they beat y'all, but it was a good game.
Man, I think you got two special players in Ponder, and then that young brother that they got back there, running back, like, yo, he's the original black man. Like, he's like the person they brought down from the spaceships and put on the earth because – yo, dude lost a piece of his leg, and he's running for 1,700 yards or on pace to.
That's
like,
crazy. That's crazy.
What's
Brian
wrong
Fury.
With dude,
that man?
Man.
That man is a cyborg. That's Brian Fury right there.
Man.
No doubt.
That man is a machine.
Chill. Which two teams do you have going to the Super Bowl, though? Who? And then also, who's going to win? You got to give us your picks.
Before the season started, and I'm still remaining with my pick, even though they had a couple bumps, I'm still going with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And my pick had nothing to do with stats or nothing. I just picked them. I said I want to see the Ravens. And I like the Niners the way the season started. I thought the Niners were going to be good coming out. So right now,
that's
the Ravens.
Bad pick, Jill. That's a bad pick. If Uncle Ray is listening, you're going to cause that man to come back too early from an injury to play in the Super Bowl because you said it.
I already tweeted it, but I can't really go back on it.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's still possible. They're still two of the best teams in the league. And, I mean, you know, the marketing is going to be crazy considering the two brothers are the coaches. But,
right.
Let's jump to another sport real quick. Who do you root for in the NBA, if anybody? Who's your favorite hoops team?
Oh, man, this is about to be bad. I have, once again, never changed my team. Always like the same team since I was young. I've always been a Pacers fan. I've never changed my team.
Oh, yeah, you got some weird teams, man.
You weird. Yo, you weird.
I've never met a Pacers fan.
You weird little small city teams.
I will forever remain a Pacers fan. I'm an Indiana Pacers fan since
the day. Well, let me ask you a question. They just Danny Granger's out hurt now. So what do you think about their prospects for the season? What do you think about the team now?
I mean, the rest of the team is still alive. I still think we got a good fighting chance. You know, he ain't going forever. He'll be back.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll help everybody build their chemistry without him hogging the ball the whole night. See what goes on when he come back in, fit him in somewhere.
You know, I've never met a Pacers fan. That's crazy.
Yeah, I have not.
I like the Pacers and the Red Wings and the Red Sox.
Yeah. Personally, I know one Pacers fan, and she's actually from Indianapolis, so she has an excuse. I've
never been from Indianapolis, and I still don't know no Pacers fan.
I used to bust it up with Travis Best when he played for the Pacers, and he wasn't really a Pacers fan.
And he wasn't a Pacers fan.
Yo, that's crazy. All right, so let's get your picks in the NBA then. Who you got in the NBA Finals and who's going to win that?
The Miami LeBron's probably going to take it again. And I'm just going to go with that. It really doesn't matter. I don't really think he can lose.
Yeah,
he's
playing
out of his mind right now. Who you got coming out the West, though?
The second place team. It doesn't really matter. you would think on paper. I would think the Lakers, but they're looking terrible. But it's only five games in, but they're not looking good at all. But you would think with the lineup, you would think LA and Miami. So
it's gonna be the Heat versus the Heat bait. Whoever's the Heat bait on the other side.
Yeah, but chill. Before we let you go, we know you got other endeavors this evening. What's your next project coming out?
The project is coming out soon. Haven't really announced any like release dates or anything like that. It's about 60% done right now. We finally got a title for it. I got a couple announcements coming up, you know, regarding the project. Stay tuned. Around, I think about Wednesday, I'm like allowed to make this announcement. So Wednesday, report to my Twitter. Report to the bridge for blow up on Wednesday. You know what I mean?
whenever you got something going on, new project, you know, a show or anything, just let us know and we'll promote it for you on this side.
So tell everybody how they can get in touch with you on the web. Like, what's your Twitter, Facebook, you know, and all
everything
that.
Chill Moody, chillmoody.com, Twitter at Chill Moody, Instagram is Chill Moody, and then you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Drunk Chill when I have a little bit too much to sip. Should be Drunk Chill on Twitter.
Man.
Look out for the project coming soon. New videos coming this week, next week, all of that.
Yeah, no doubt. You're officially a part of the Wolverine family. Anytime you got anything going on, we'll let the people know.
Good, man. Definitely come through. Anytime you going out on the road, if you need somebody to carry your equipment.
I need me one of these Wolverine sports mugs to put my Jameson in, too, man.
We got you, homie. No doubt.
True,
everybody,
true.
Yo, that's Chill Moody. Hit him up online, chillmoody.com, to get all his info. But thanks for coming on, homie.
Thanks,
all right, man.
All right, we'll holler at you.
Yo, man, young boy got to save hip-hop, man. He got a lot on his shoulders.
He
got to save.
Yo, Austin out of control, man. Austin out of control.
We got some young boy. That's why I said we got some young boys for him that'll carry his luggage.
All right, man, before we get our next guest on the line in about 10 minutes, let's get this jump back into some hot topics again, man. Yo, you're off the hook tonight, man. Marcus Vick, during the Eagles Monday night debacle, he was sending out some tweets, and one of the tweets was saying to Philly, let me read the tweet. He said, please trade my brother. We requesting out of Philly, please, please, please. Now, that's just one tweet among many, because he was in rare form all night.
I think the boy was drunk.
He was talking about, you know, how many times Mike Vick was getting hit and stuff like that. But, you know, he was being real critical of the organization, used a couple expletives a few times. For me, it seemed like the Twitter fans, the Twitter nation was out there killing him as he was doing this. But what do you guys think, you know, about the whole situation? Because basically, you know, Mike Vick had to put the kibosh on it when he heard it, because he's basically putting him in a position by his words. Because, you know, people are going to think this is what Mike Vick is thinking and saying, you know, when he's not around the organization. Austin, what do you think about Marcus Vick and his tweets?
Well, first, I saw those tweets actually live. And, I apologize to you for answering that dude. I let my emotions get the best of me, because it's not as if his brother is playing that well. I mean, I'm not saying something that isn't true. I feel as though he needs to put a muzzle, no pun intended, on himself and kind of fall back from making negative comments like that, because, you know, his NFL career was very short-lived, and now I've heard, I don't know firsthand, but I've heard that he's employed at, like, Target or Walmart and has a nice pharmaceutical business. I mean, I don't know, but who is he to get on Twitter and go all out when the Eagles
suck as a team.
No, but one thing that I had to, that I was thinking about, like, you know, you're doing that. I mean, we know that the game's not looking good. The offensive line is not looking good. This is your brother. He's getting hit. I understand the whole thing. But how do you not know, out of from all the trouble that he's been in, all the trouble that his brother's been, how do you know, how do you not know just to, you know, kind of be quiet on that one? This
Shut
team
your
did
mouth.
Go out of its way to pick up Mike Vick when it wasn't the most popular thing to do. I mean,
listen, man, he
fans,
lost his cool the same way Austin did, man.
Yeah, but it's like Herm Edwards said, you know, don't push then. It's different when you're just coming off the cuff with your mouth, but this, you're writing it. You're checking it out to see what you wrote, and then you're pressing send. So I can't really give them that excuse. But before we go on, let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline real quick, because we got Alex on the line from Cali. He's been holding for a minute. Alex, you're in the war room.
What's up, Alex?
What's going on?
What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, Alex.
You just missed Chill. You said you wanted to say something about Chill?
Oh, yeah, I was, yeah, because I saw his tweet. And I was like, let me call him up and call you guys up and say what's up real quick.
Oh,
okay.
Hey, whatever
you
week,
call.
We'll pass on the message if you wanted to
yeah,
tell
you
me.
Call, you call from
oh,
Cali?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, just tell him that was it Alex Cantu, was it just to tell Chill Moody to keep it going, keep moving, because I've been a fan of his since I heard him rap on, like, these, what was it? It was called, he had a project called, like, Chillmatic. And, like, he rapped over this, like, all these different nonsense, you know, but I was like, damn, that shit is sick. And then
Alex,
he's doing
you
his
a
thing.
Friend of the war room.
Alex, what's your Twitter, Alex?
Can't do the name. It's C-A-N, number 2, T-H-A-N-A-M-E.
All right, we'll give you a shout-out, and we'll let Chill know
yeah,
that he got fans
out
in Cali.
Cool, good looking, man. I appreciate it to the maximum.
All right, man. Thanks for your call, man. Make sure you listen in every week.
Oh, no problem, yeah.
All right, man.
All right take care, homie.
Telling you, man, young boy got to save. He's saving hip hop, man.
You got to put that cape on.
Got to put that cape on. Him and Kendrick.
Yeah, no doubt.
I feel you. All right, so what were you saying, Jimmy, about the whole Twitter thing and the reaction about it?
It's funny because I was on Twitter when he said it, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, yo, because you know I'm on Twitter going to games and seeing the craziness that happens on Twitter. And when I saw that, I was like, yo, y'all, he is definitely tripping. And the kind of slander he got, though, is like, yo, it's nothing I can say because the people wanted him so hard, like, they said it. Yo, Eagles fans, like, yo, when you mess with Twitter, right, it's one thing to mess with Twitter, and then you have Philly Twitter. Philly Twitter is different than regular Twitter. When you say something about Eagle or Sixer or something like that, yo, they will kill you. Like, they went in on him, yo, but... Nothing I could even say to him at this point, man. But that was kind of crazy. He has to think before he speaks. He gave a half-hearted apology, one of those things where you say, I'm sorry if I offended someone. Not just sorry for what you did. You're sorry if you offended someone. But Mike Vick also came out and said he had a talk with him, and, you know, it'll never happen again, yada, yada, yada. But
The funniest thing was Mike Vick's face in the post-game press conference right after the game when the reporter asked him about it. And he said, your brother tweeted that you didn't want to be here anymore and, you know, you wanted to get traded as soon as possible, like, get you out of there. He was like, he said, what? He's like, he tweeted that? Like, it was priceless because Mike Vick probably was like, I know this boy didn't just set me up like this. So then Mike Vick went on his little tirade. All I would say about it is I hope that the Eagles read that, and I hope that they gladly oblige with his request. With his brother's
like,
request.
Go ahead and get him out of here.
Yep.
Take it back where you got it before.
Exactly. Bring him back. Bring him back where you got him. Get him out of here.
All right, well, real quick, before we go into some NFL talk with Robert Klimko, of course, since we're mid-season now and they're still winning games, the talk is starting for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you start hearing the words Miami Dolphins 72, stuff like that. Roddy White said that he believes that they have the pedigree to go undefeated. Now, it's well documented with PJ and I think about the Atlanta Falcons. Jimmy, Austin, do y'all think it's possible for the Atlanta Falcons to
absolutely
keep this
run
up?
No. I think better of them than you and PJ think of them, but I still
also know that Roddy is one of those dudes that doesn't always use his mouth to talk, and he allows his ego and his confidence to sometimes get him, you know, write checks that other people have to cash. I'm not mad at his confidence, though, because he's supposed to feel that confident. So I'm not mad at it. But all that being said, no, I see the Falcons being 11 and 5, 12 and call it, I'll give them 12 and 4 to 13 and 3. They're going to lose at least three games.
Okay, well, here's their remaining schedule. I mean, they have New Orleans, the Cardinals, Tampa Bay, New Orleans again, Carolina, the New York Giants, and the Detroit Lions, and Tampa Bay again. So you got Tampa twice,
one team,
the Saints twice, the Cardinals, the Giants, and Carolina. So
if Eli could put his Eli face on.
There's only two teams over 500, ain't it, right now? The Giants
and who else did they name on that?
It was Tampa Bay or the Cardinals. What's the...
The Cardinals are falling. They've fallen off there. I mean, we said early in the season what they were going to end up doing. So the schedule is pretty favorable. Not sure if the Giants are going to let that happen. If I had to pick a game where they definitely were going to lose, even though they are playing the Giants at home, and Atlanta has traditionally, with this regime, been tough in the Georgia Dome. So, I mean, it should be interesting to see if they can do it. I personally don't think they can do it, and it really doesn't matter because whatever they end up doing, undefeated or not, they're going to lose in the first round of playoffs. Because that's just what they do. So. But they are a pretty good team this year, man. I will admit that.
What?
There were a few weeks before
they pummeled
the Eagles that they were begging for someone to beat them, and those teams just came up short. And like I said last week, you know, you have to give them.
Let's see what Rob thinks about him, Dev.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Jimmy, I lost my train of thought now.
Oh, my fault. Because I definitely want to see what he thinks, because I know how you and PJ feel about the Falcons. Dev has already said they're going to lose in the first round. I mean, I understand they scored 2 points last time, but, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different team.
All right, well, we can go to them real quick, but let me tell everybody real quick. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. To call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And since we are talking a little NFL right now, we're going to bring on USA Today's NFL reporter, Robert Klimko. He covers mainly the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Redskins, but we go to him for, you know, just about everything around the league. So, Robert, what's going on, man? You're back in the war room.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, Rob.
Mid-season time. Time to talk about some of that stuff you said early in the season, see how it's playing out.
I'm hoping you guys don't remember too much of what I said.
Remember, we got it on tape. But, we'll get right into it, though. Well, actually, since we brought you on a little bit early, what do you think about the Atlanta Falcons and their chances of going 16-0? At least
he's a smart guy.
You know, I found it interesting that Tony Gonzalez said, I think it was this week, that the Falcons aren't getting as much national attention as they should. And then you talk about Roddy White hinting at undefeated. I don't think any team that has ever gone undefeated has asked to be paid attention to. I find that very odd.
And you wouldn't expect that from a Tony Gonzalez. Like, who cares about respect? Just go out there and win the games, and
right, exactly.
You'll get your respect when you're holding up the Lombardi Trophy. But I kind of hate when players and teams cry for respect, and then they go out in the first round scoring 2 points. So
right. In his case, he's going to get that respect at Canton.
you find the teams that have some experience in this department wishing to lay low at this point of the season. So I tend to support your theory that they'll crumble. The other thing about the Falcons is that you look at the teams they've beaten. They've beaten some bad teams by very small margins. You know,
right.
They only beat Carolina 30-28, and And four out of their last five, I think, have been one-score games, and they haven't really dominated anybody, save for the Eagles, who kind of just gave that one away. So I think you look at the rest of their schedule, it's pretty soft, except for when they welcome the Giants. I think the Giants win that one and burst their bubble.
Yeah, and I think they'll lose at least one to the Saints, even though their record stinks.
Yeah.
But, okay, so basically, this next guy we're talking about, we discussed him when you were on the first time preseason. He has the highest completion percentage of his storied career, 2,400 yards, 20 touchdowns to go against six interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 108.6.
Damn!
Manning all the way back, and does his play make the Broncos legitimate title contenders this year?
Well, I mean, I'm really excited to see him for the first time in person this weekend. I'm actually going to drive down to Carolina to check it out. But, you know, everything that we said early on was that if he's actually feeling okay, then this is a title-contending team. They had a great defense that made Tim Tebow a relevant player last year. So if your defense can make Tim Tebow relevant, then I think they can do something a little more with Peyton Manning. I think they're setting him up with a lot of great field position, not putting him in uncomfortable situations, and he's really taking advantage of it and really changed the culture there. He's one of the few players in the league who you can bring in and say, all right, we added a quarterback and an offensive coordinator.
Very, very, very good points. We have one Broncos fan on our War Room sports team, and I know he's ecstatic to have Peyton.
You already know.
Yeah, one of the teams that you cover specifically, Baltimore, is 6-2. But the way they lost to Houston a few weeks back, in addition to kind of the injuries, had the media and fans in panic mode almost. Is it time to panic, or is this team still a title contender without Uncle Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's time to panic. I think that one of the big obstacles that they have to get by is the communication thing. You know, if Ray wasn't making all the plays that he used to make, the one thing that he was doing and doing better than he's ever done was putting people in the right position. So you have a lot of young players around. You got around you. You have the three other linebackers and the 3-4 started the season without Terrell Suggs, and it didn't appear that the defense was losing that much because Ray was putting them in great positions. And then you saw in the Dallas game how much trouble they were in without Ray. You know, Cleveland, not a huge test, but still those guys, Trent Richardson ran for 100 yards on them, and that's not something the Browns can say that they've done in a very long time. I don't think it's time to push the panic button, but they have a tough schedule up ahead. They have Denver and the Giants late. Washington could be an upset team. They still have to play Pittsburgh twice. So you really got to get this Oakland win this weekend. If you don't have this Oakland win, it's not inconceivable that they would miss the playoffs.
Wow.
That's crazy. I have a question.
It's hard for me to imagine them missing the playoffs.
I know, I'm sitting there thinking like, wow, not in the playoffs. But
playoffs?
Rob, a couple of us in Philadelphia, here's my question. Mike Vick, he kept his job after some speculation that he wouldn't. Do you think a move should be made at the QB position in Philly? And do you see any signs of this team rebounding? I mean, what do you think about Vic and what's going on in Philly?
I tend to think that you should dance with the one who brung you, as Darrell Young, the Texas coach, just said, I'd like to say. So I think if you're Andy Reid, you've already hitched your wagon to Vic a long time ago. I don't know if Nick Foles taking you a round or two in the playoffs is really saving your job. So I think that you have to stick with Vic and hope that he can pull out of, the funk there. But it's not all on Vic. It's really about the quarterback, the offensive line. Do you really want to put Nick Foles in there and watch him get beat up just like Vic? I mean, you lost three offensive linemen. You have to really get back to the running game and establish maybe a little bit of play action like they do in a lot of other cities where the quarterback can't really carry the load. And maybe then you set Vic up for success. But if you keep leaning on Vic to throw the ball all game behind a patchwork offensive line, I mean, what do you expect? How can you expect to make the playoffs?
Yeah, true. Sometimes I think Andy Reid and Marty Morningweg are, like, looking at the 2010 or have the 2010 Michael Vick in their mind, in the 2010 offensive line when they're calling some of these plays. But all right, well, let's check in on the rookie signal callers. What's your progress report in midseason grades for Whedon, Tannehill, Wilson, RG3, and Andrew Luck? And Andrew Luck last.
Okay.
What you think?
Well, you know, I think that there's two different groups. I think you have to put Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and RG3 in one group, and you put Tannehill and Whedon in another group. I don't know that Whedon is really as impressive as everybody has said. He has
Whedon might have to have his own group.
Yeah. he's completing just over half of his passes. He's got 12 interceptions to 9 touchdowns so far. I haven't been super impressed with him. You know, he doesn't have a lot to work with, but I really don't think he's in the class of even Wilson, much less Luck or RG3. I think the really exciting thing about Luck is that he's got the team, you know, on a playoff hunt. You know, you couldn't have imagined that going into the season after watching the Colts last year. And obviously a lot has changed. The coaching situation is in flux, and that whole thing might have even provided them a boost. But the fact that he's not making big mistakes that are keeping them out of games, so that's one thing you have to say in Luck's favor. I think above them all is probably Robert Griffin III. Although it's hard to imagine him learning as much this season as much as Luck has, because you can't really play RG3 the way the Redskins are playing him when he's 30 years old. I mean, how many times in 2017 do you think they're going to line up in a pistol wishbone? It just seems like scandalous to me.
We kind of go back and forth about that all day long as we put away our objective media hats and put on our fan hats. You know, we laugh at the fact that they run that pistol and that option offense all the time, because at the end of the day, I think it's counterproductive. We know it's relatively early to make a definitive statement on this, but which looks like the better QB thus far, Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know that I'm a little biased because I see so much more of Robert Griffin, but I just think that if Robert Griffin was on the Colts, that they might be even better than they are right now. I think some of the decisions that he makes, even little things, just like throwing the ball away, he makes better calls than Luck. He's a little bit more conservative when he throws the ball. Obviously, he's more reckless when he runs the ball, but that's just because he's so talented. I think as long as he's able to stay on the field the rest of the year, he's a clear-cut rookie of the year.
Right. I kind of go the other way with that. Well, when we did our midseason picks last week, I have RG3 as the midseason offensive rookie of the year. But when I'm comparing them as quarterbacks, I think Andrew Luck looks like the better quarterback. And for me, it's not even close. And that may be attributed to some of the stuff that they run with RG3. It's like they're not letting him loose. They're being really conservative. And I think that's a matter of, like, the Redskins coaches and the organization and their fans are always the last to know that the Redskins aren't a good team. So they always feel like they have something to play for. So instead of developing him more as a quarterback, you know, they're doing things like, you know, we're going to play to some of his other strengths and try to keep us in games and things like that. But your defense is really not helping that situation. But when I look at Andrew Luck, even with some of the mistakes that he's made, when I look at him, I look at somebody who looks like they've been here for a while. Like his poise, the way he moves the pocket, not even when he runs, you know, for first downs or anything like that, just the way he moves the pocket to buy more time to make a throw, it just seems like he's not a rookie. And
mastery of the offense.
It seems like I'm watching a third or fourth year quarterback that's just good. Not a great quarterback, but a third to fourth year good quarterback, which means if he's playing like that now, when he gets into his third and fourth year, you know, of his career, he might be great by then. But I think both of them are, you know, they're best. They're definitely the cream of the crop as far as the crop goes.
And
I think Luck is a little better.
I don't disagree with what you're saying about them letting Luck do more, and that's why I say I think if Robert Griffin was playing for the Colts, I think you'd see an even better Colts team right now. The one thing that's really impressed me most about Robert is in the preseason, you saw Rusher sneaking up behind him and knocking the ball loose a couple times when he was holding it like a loaf of bread, and then he fixed that right away. It's like every week you can point out something flawed in his game, and then he comes back next week and it's not there anymore.
Exactly. He does look like he works hard to improve on things that he hasn't done well. And we can attest, you know, for most of us being Philly fans, you know, we have quarterbacks who, after 10 years, they don't realize, you know, let's hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
let's protect the rock, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So, all right, here we go. We're going to put you on that hot seat. Your midseason awards. I guess we can just go one at a time. Just give us first your most surprising team in the NFL.
Well, I think the most surprising team has got to be probably the Chicago Bears at 7-1. I mean, I didn't see them there. I don't know about you guys.
I got that on tape too. Chicago Bears is my Super Bowl pick.
Actually, this
matchup this week was my Super Bowl game, and I had Chicago beating the Texans in the Super Bowl. And all my, you know, co-hosts thought I was crazy. So far, it looks pretty good, but I'm not going to brag to them yet. You know, but
now we're rooting against him, so he won't be right.
Yeah, because I got the World Series right too, up until Detroit lost. So, you know,
I mean, just
the way they eliminate the run, we're looking kind of good.
The way they eliminate the run is pretty much the most impressive thing to me. I mean, giving up less than 100 yards per game really sets up your defensive backs, you know, for a lot of success. I mean, and I think that's one of the big reasons. Tillman is getting into the MVP or the Defensive Player of the Year conversation is just because they force offenses to be one-dimensional.
Right. All right, so who's your most disappointing team?
I'm sorry, you know, to the two of you Eagles fans there, but it's got to be the Eagles, right?
Hey, that's who we pick.
Yep.
As a matter of fact,
amen.
That's who we picked this year and last year, midseason,
yeah.
As the most disappointing. So it's becoming a trend, you know, it's very understandable.
But every year you're going to have one or two teams that just get absolutely ravaged by injuries, and there's not a worse position to be hurt there than the offensive line, especially considering Vic's indecisiveness there. So I think they got hit the one place they couldn't get hit.
Yeah, well, we were terrible before the injuries, though. I mean, we were winning games, but we were turning the ball over 4 and 5 times in wins. And, you know, we tried to temper the fans' enthusiasm and let them know, like, you can't win in this league like that, so don't expect it to continue. So who's your comeback player of the year?
Well, I think the comeback player of the year is Peyton Manning. I don't think anybody would dispute that. I tried to come up with, you know, an off-the-wall pick on that one, but there's really nobody else it could be.
Well,
Adrian Peterson.
You guys picked Adrian Peterson because he.
Yeah, he had a solid year. He played until December. Peyton Manning,
right.
You know, missed the whole
That's
thing.
That's true. I picked Peyton when we did it too, and that is true. He did get hurt towards the end of the year, so you know his numbers last year were still pretty good. Coach of the year.
Coach of the year, I would say Lovie Smith. Just the way he has that defense clicking, and he's been able to manage Jay Cutler and limit him from making all the mistakes that Jay Cutler is prone to make. I think it's been really impressive. I don't know how long it can last, but it's a beautiful thing going on up there.
Yeah, I didn't make any bets, so if it doesn't last, I'm good. all right, so this one, we can group these. You can give us your defensive and offensive rookies of the year.
Sure. The one player that I really like, and I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed has been playing well lately, has been Morris Claiborne. I read a stat today. He's allowed 23 catches in all the games he's played. And obviously,
wow.
he's a guy that's going to get picked on opposite Brandon Carr there and being a rookie in the NFC East. And, you know, he really hasn't folded. He's got, a pick and 5 defense passes. He's a good tackler. So I think it would have to be right now, Morris Claiborne.
That's pretty good because D'Angelo Hall gives up 23 catches per game and he makes the Pro Bowl. So.
So I guess that the offensive rookie of the year per our earlier talk would be Robert Griffin III. But if I had to pick a non-quarterback, I would say that I really like Martin out in Tampa Bay. You know, runs really hard. Was supposed to be LeGarrette Blount out there, and Doug Martin just kind of took that spot over. And I think you have to really respect what he did against the Raiders. Although the Raiders aren't the greatest defense, but that was one of the great rushing performances all year.
Oh, Jimmy respects it because he's on his fantasy team, and Jimmy was losing
yes,
by 70
indeed.
Points.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
He was down 70 points before this game and ended up winning by a nice
yes,
margin.
Yes, indeed.
I know you respect it, Jimmy. All right, so let's go defensive player of the year and offensive player of the year.
Sure. I think one player that has gone unnoticed as far as defensive-wise for the last 2 or 3 years is a guy who's from my neck of the woods, Prince George's County, Maryland, is Cameron Wake. Went to the CFL, was their defensive player of the year, and then came to Miami, and at first they used him in just sort of third down pass rushing situations, and then he really showed that he could play the run as well. And even though he doesn't have the numbers this year, he's really all over the field, chases down every play, and really disrupts quarterbacks. And if you look at the passing numbers of a lot of the teams the Dolphins have played, some of the great quarterbacks they've played have underperformed in part because he's in their face.
Right.
Yeah. Cam.
Offensive.
Go.
And offensive player of the year, I mean, that's tough. I'd like to say somebody off the wall like Percy Harvin, but you know it's going to be a quarterback. So I think Matt Ryan, as long as he's got the Atlanta Falcons undefeated, he'd have to be your guy.
Right. All right, now for the big award before we get you out of here. MVP, mm-hmm. First half, MVP.
NFL MVP of the first half, not projected over the rest of the season?
No, just the first half.
Oh, man. I think my NFL MVP is probably Tom Brady.
Tom Brady? That's
Tom Brady. Tom Brady's my guy.
I haven't heard that. Okay.
I think that his wide receivers have had a lot of drops. I think they're closing in somewhere on 30 drops this year. He hasn't had both tight ends in the game the whole time with Aaron Hernandez hurt for a lot of the year, and I think he's the glue that holds them together. I think we'd be talking about them going undefeated all year if they had remained healthy. So I think the fact that they're still in it, and he's a big reason why, and I see him winning the MVP for the year as well.
I think you just officially took Tom Brady from underneath the radar and put him, and that's hard to say, Tom Brady being under the radar, but I haven't heard anybody pick him yet, but, I mean, you do make an interesting case. All right, Robert, of course you know, before we get you out of here, we always got to let you tell the people where they can find your writing, you know, where they can find you on the Internet, Twitter, do your commercial.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm Rob Klemko. I'm at Robert, K-L-E-M-K-O, on Twitter.com. I got a couple crazy weeks coming up, going to Carolina for the Panthers and Broncos, and then Thanksgiving down to Dallas, and then going over to New Orleans that Sunday, so... While you guys are eating turkey, I'm going to be on a plane.
And we'll be retweeting whatever you say about the game. Oh, yeah, that's what we generally try to do, though. When you write an article, we share it with our social networks, you know, to make sure
our fans
are reading you as well.
Appreciate it.
All right, so once again, we thank you for joining us in the War Room. Of course, we're going to have you back before the season's out so we can so we can do another progress report and check up on everything that we talked about. So thanks again, Rob.
Thanks, man.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Take that, Dev.
All right, Robert Klemko, everybody. All right, so let's get into some let's turn gears. Let's talk some NBA talk real quick. Because hey, the season's here. What else is there to do? I know this is Jimmy's favorite time of the year. So the basketball is brought to you by the Fanatics. For your best and your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our site,
at warroomsports.com and click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or on our sponsors page and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and more. You can even get you some MMA stuff on there. Got me some tap-out sweats to wear around the crib. All right, so the NBA has completed the first week of the season. And what's NBA talk without getting a little Curtis blowing here real quick? All right, so the NBA Players of the Week is one Mr. James Harden in the Western Conference and Brandon Jennings in the Eastern Conference. And I'll let you fellas know their stats real quick. James Harden, who we talked about last week because of how he started the season, he led the league in scoring in the first week with 35.3 points per game. Jennings, he led the Eastern Conference not in scoring, but he led them in assists with 13 assists and 4 steals per game. I think he added about 17 points to that. And Milwaukee posted his first 2-0 start to a season since 2005-06. So, you know, it was a short week to begin the season, and those two guys kind of stood out. And we'll talk about James Harden a little more in a minute. But, fellas, the Lakers and their rough start continues. They're dead last in the Western Conference. Are you guys ready to count them out?
No.
It's
way. Did I say it's way? Yeah, it's way too early.
way too early.
I'm hearing folks talking about they're going to end up, you know, not winning any games and just ridiculous. Do I think listen.
That's
the talent that they have on
that.
Yeah. You got plenty of haters, and I would fit myself into the haters category in terms of the organization as opposed to the individual players, but they have way too much talent on that team for them to not win at least, I'd say, 40-45 games, and that would be a disappointing record for the Lakers. But I think that they will I think they'll get to 45. The defensive challenges, you know, I think you guys heard me say that, you know, I was okay in a game or two regarding their defense, but that's really the biggest challenge. I think the offense will come around and kind of take care of itself. But defensively, Dwight's got to earn his money, and they've got to get a little bit more intensity on the perimeter so that when things get to Dwight, it's not just a floodgate, so...
Yo, real quick, gentlemen, we got another guest in the war room. It's definitely a hip hop night. You know, earlier we had Chill Moody on. We got another guest from the hip hop community want to join us in the war room. You know,
who could it be?
You want to play a song real quick, Dad? Before we bring him, play a little bit of one of his songs real quick.
All right, I'm gonna do that because we got E Ness in the building, another MC straight out of Philly. Let's see now.
E-Mess from making the
band. Know the code of the streets. If you're leaking information, put the chrome to his beat. Stone piece looking like chopped meat. You intimidate the mother niggas, dog, not me. Fuck us down, get away scot-free. My boys get around like Pop and Shock G.
E-Ness.
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Yo. What's up, family?
Going on, man? Thanks for having me on the war room.
No doubt, man. We finally got you up in the war room.
It's been a long time. Let's just jump right into it, man. Let's talk some battle rap, man. You know one of the kings out of our city in battle rap. You got something coming up soon tomorrow, right? Or Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday on my birthday, November 10th. That's my
actual
form day.
Oh man, happy birthday, brother. Happy birthday.
No doubt, beloved. You know, I'm getting up there in age, so, you know what I mean? I'm just giving you a little brief summary of my whole method to my madness. I started doing this shit before my career, talking about the battle thing. Now, I've battled before my professional career, during my professional career, and I'm currently still doing it. Now, my only gripe is I've only held this spot down because the younger guy from Philadelphia was kind of skeptical about jumping in the ring because they had what you call situations going on, so they didn't want to jeopardize that. So,
yeah.
Me, I call myself being a good Samaritan, holding it down, not picking my battles, not, you know, just running into a brick wall. Anytime somebody called me out, I always rise to the occasion. So my last battle was at a big event this past summer. It's called Summer Madness 2. It was by URL, Smack, you know, if you're familiar with Smack and URL.
Yeah, we definitely familiar. As a matter of fact, DNA has been on our show before, the guy you battle. So we're very familiar with the culture and what's going on.
Okay. So if y'all seen my last outing of that and seen what happened, I got disrespect to me.
No doubt, man.
I didn't even see it yet. Did you see it, Jim?
Yeah, I saw it. If I can quote the homie, man, it was kind of nutty. Yo, I'm not going to front, though. You gave it replay value because it was kind of hilarious, yo.
I mean,
tell us what happened.
Well, what happened was, like I said, over my years, I have made some enemies.
Right.
So it was a usual suspect, which I call my Kill Bill list, that I've been having words with back and forth over the years. That Kill Bill list was Matt Hopper, A-Verb, Arsenal, Midwest Miles, and who the fuck else was it? I had one more guy. I can't mention his name, but DNA got thrown into equation because Matt Hopper lost at Summer Madness 1 last year. So they threw me this guy. DNA is on the tear. He won his last couple battles. His last battle before mine, he battled somebody from Philly, which is Tech N9ne. I don't know if y'all are familiar with him, but he's one of the few guys from Philly that's really holding it down on the battle scene. Make a long story short, I didn't like the way they did me. They booed me, cheered him the whole three rounds. So the energy that I got from the crowd was the energy that you see me reflect, because I've never been in any building and had anything to do with rap where I got booed. I've been on Showtime, Apollo, Amateur Night, and when I got on, when I was with the band Torn and all that, I never got booed. So that was a new thing for me. So, yeah, I kind of handle it unsportsmanlike, but, you know what I mean? I'm from the street, too, so I just don't, when something don't sit right with me, this is how I'm going to react. So, make a long story short, I'm getting back in the ring November 10th, and, you know, it's my birthday, so it's going to be a good day for me. But I just, like, my whole thing, I just want to show that these young guys, that the vets still got a lot of fight still in them. And
no
until somebody take my spot and ride irritation, I'm going to be on niggas' ass as long as I'm still living.
No doubt. Who are you battling on Saturday? What's the brother's name you battle on Saturday?
Some coward named Amino Guns from Chester, Pennsylvania.
Damn! Tell us how you really feel. He called the boy a coward, no doubt. But
yo.
Now where is it taking place, Dina?
Okay, the venue is Club 1800, located on 5th and Berks, Philadelphia, PA. I don't have the flyer on me right now. It's in my phone, so I can't really access it right now, but I'll make sure.
Yeah, whenever you get it, just, you know, send it to us and we'll put it out there.
Yeah, we'll put it out there. You know, let everybody know what's going on.
Berk Street, 1805 Berk Street.
It's Club 1800, right?
Yeah.
All right, no doubt. Yeah, we'll get the information out there, everybody, man. So after this, I mean, you still going to keep at it in terms of the battle or you know?
Last year we had a battle Arsenal. That was actually my battle league. It's called Gunline Battlegrounds. We have a radio show that we do every Thursday from 10 to 2. It's called Gunline Battlegrounds on PC Radio. So we'll be doing our own little internet thing, you know what I mean, get it popping on that level. But after this battle, I would like to just, you know what I mean, cross over to the executive side of things more and then just kind of like get the venues and get the artists and get the kind of like, you know what I mean, be more of a business than actually the talent, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm done with this shit because when you win, people don't say shit. When you lose, that's when you get everybody wants to throw their little 2 cents in. Like, when I win battles, I don't get a phone call. I don't get a congratulations. I don't get a, you got it. I don't get a nothing. I don't get none of that.
Right.
You know what niggas say? You know what niggas say? You do that. Supposed to do that. You were supposed to do that.
You got it. You got. It's like you got to live to a higher standard. It's like they hold you to a level that they don't hold others to. Is that how you feel?
Right. And I feel as though when anybody says something against me, it's even that more powerful because who I am. So you might not cheer for what I'm saying, but you might cheer for the underdog because the underdog is taking a shot at somebody that everybody knows. So it makes it that more powerful.
In that case with DNA, do you think that was the case, or do you think it was like a home turf type thing? Like they weren't even giving you a chance because you was going up against a New York boy in New York.
I tried to be biased and remove myself from the equation to look at it as a spectator. But
right.
In the second round, when they kept booing me and I wasn't getting through my lines, I kind of felt it was one-sided and geographical.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Yo, you know what? It's funny, Ness. This is Jimmy. It's funny because, like I said, I'm very in tune with the culture and what goes on, but it's kind of like a double-edged sword because, like, in those big arenas, like, You get a lot of that, and it seems as though when you have it, like, in a more intimate setting, like, you know, a barbershop or something small, you don't kind of get the crowd to act that way. But at the same time, I guess you can't pay the artist as much if you don't have it in the bigger arena. So it's kind of like, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, when a big venue, you got the whole dictator factor. You know, somebody probably don't even hear the line, and niggas booing, and then four other niggas start booing just because other niggas is booing. You know, that's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
but
I'm saying. It's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and plus, I only had one battle in Philly. All my other battles been in New York or in Miami or somewhere else. I had one home game out of my whole career. Now, when people say I'm crying, I didn't cry at the fact that, you know the crowd was being biased. I was crying at the fact that I wasn't physically crying, but, you know, I was kind of throwing a tantrum at the fact that the culture is watered down. Here you go. You got guys that watch you come up their whole entire life that's prepared for that one day. Now, what I'm saying is people don't, like, most of the people that I hop in the ring with, people don't know them until I battle them. So now you got DNA's. His name has been mentioned in the same voice with Meek. And now Meek want to battle Cassidy and Meek. You know what I'm saying? You see how I know what I'm saying? It's 6 degrees of separation. And what I'm saying is when I started off, it wasn't cool to do it. Everybody was on a, I got to get a deal and I got to go platinum and come out with my album and make a big impact. Now you got the mainstream artists trying to hop back in the ring. And it's like kind of, you know, going backwards. But, you know, for all exposures, been getting, you know, battle rap is becoming mainstream now. It's getting a lot of press. And with me being one of the forefathers of it, I'm still supported, but it's just got to go back to the regular way. You know what I'm saying? Some type of way where niggas don't know who their opponents is and people can't prepare. Because I'm from the dinosaur days when you had to battle five guys with the material you already had. You didn't have 2-3 months to prepare for a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so it's
gotten to the point. I mean, it's really like a sport now. It's like boxing because you get, you know, you get like 6 weeks to train, like you're training for a fight.
Right.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's definitely evolving. Like, you know what I mean?
Kind of crazy for me.
Yo,
I'm
Ness.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the album? Like, what projects are you working on away from battle rapping? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you had some momentum, some traction in the mainstream, you know, realm. So what are you doing with that these days?
Well, you know, my two deals that I had with Bad Boy, you know what I mean, it kind of took a toll on me as far as confidence and my loyalty. I had to question my loyalty. So I really had to reevaluate my situation and get back to it. So now that I got a whole new perspective of an understanding of the business, I'm ready to attack it independently. So I don't have no ties with no major labels, no Bad Boy, no Puff. So I'm really just entertaining investors and in the meantime putting out my projects now, my whole thing now, got this Loch Ness Monster moniker, my whole mixtape series is all horror films. Like I dropped Wrong Turn last year. This year I'm dropping Last House on the Left and I'm dropping The House of the In the Street, which is part two to Last House on the Left. So I'm still beating up the street. I'm still having my internet presence. I gained like 30, 40 followers a day on Twitter. So it really, you know what I mean, the flack that I caught from the DNA battle really, it kind of helped me a little bit because it put me back in people's minds. And, you know, even if, you know, everybody that wanted a chair, they showed up the chair, and everybody that wanted the boo, they showed up the boo. So I get the best of both worlds. So I get to touch the haters and the people that's already had faith in me. So outside of the battle, and I've been just dropping, you know, many like street albums, like little LPs where mixtapes for 12, 13, 14 joints, nothing too crazy, where I give them half freestyles, half originals, all my own in-house producers. And I'm still in the street kind of nurturing new talent, looking for, you know, I mean, the next generation to step up, then I can give them the jewels that I learned within my travels.
No doubt.
No doubt, man.
Look, thanks for calling up. Do us a favor. Shoot us that flyer, and we'll get it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and anytime you got, a project coming up, or if you got another artist that you want to showcase, you know, man, just give us a call. You know what I mean? You fam, we promote it for you. It's all good.
No doubt. It's all love, man. I thank you, good brothers, for having me on the show tonight. Let me speak my piece, man.
No doubt, man. Good looking, homie. We'll holler at you, man.
All right, homie.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right.
That's E-Ness, everybody.
Please, Mr. Brad, would you please give us a chance to the young lady?
They call me Esquire, Spitfire, son, the loudest one. Still rep Philadelphia to the fullest. But you may see me in D.C. All
right. That was a Tracy Lee E-Ness joint. E-Ness had the second verse, so we ain't gonna play it that long, but we hit y'all with that another time. Hey, so back to this basketball stuff, because we gotta revert back. This is the hip hop sports episode, part four, where we're gonna transition this back into the sports realm of things. Talked about the Lakers a little bit. Danny Granger.
My fault, gentlemen.
Oh, Danny.
We just had a caller call up, and I was trying to bring him on, but he was getting yelled at by his wife, and she told him to hang up, yo.
Who was that?
We just had a caller call up. I mean, this is what happens when you have live shows, yo. A caller called up, and he was getting ready to speak, and his wife said, "You better hang up that damn phone." He's like, "I gotta go. My wife told me to hang the phone up, man." So I apologize, man, but I love live radio.
Oh, man, he can't talk about sports. Call back when she takes them chains off you.
All right, but
football and chain.
Danny Granger is out 3 months. He got an injection in his knee for not tendonitis, but for tendinosis. He's going to be out 3 months. You guys think the Pacers can stay afloat without Danny Granger? We talked about it a little bit earlier because Chill Moody is a Pacers fan for some reason. What do you guys think?
Man, whenever I hear osis, I get nervous. Anything with the last name Osis, it kind of, you know, it makes me nervous, man. That's all I can say. I think that he hopefully will return and be his former self, because it's not like the brother has a whole heap of athleticism to go with his game. So he needs his knees to bend.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. We got deep into the conversation, and the more they spoke, I realized they were a Pacers fan, because they were thinking that they were saying that the Pacers were projected to be the 2 seed this year. I really didn't get that, because I told them, okay, without Danny Granger, I'm thinking this team is talented enough to stay in the playoff hunt, to stay in the top 8 in the Eastern Conference. But missing him for 3 months, I do think is going to hurt the team as far as, you know, trying to get up to anywhere 5 and above, you know, 4th seed and above, which they had a fighting chance of doing, but I never really thought that the Pacers were that strong in the first place to be at the top half of the Eastern Conference playoff race. But I personally think it's going to hurt them. They do have a lot of talent back there, but, I mean, this is an 18-point-per-game score. When the Pacers weren't that good, he was a 25-point-per-game score. So we get to see, you know, what the rest of the team is going to do as far as stepping up in his absence.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a situation, man, where that the Pacers have high hopes coming into the season, and I think their team is, you know, they're still good enough to compete, but he's definitely a big part of the team.
Yeah, and be formidable. I think they'll be in the, like Dev said, I think they'll still be in the top 8 somewhere.
but I don't know where they're going to be slated. I mean, it's still some things, and I'm still waiting to see what the Sixers are going to do, man. But I mean, not to change the team focus, but just like seeing what the other teams are going to be in the East. I don't think the East is going to be that strong. They'll be like 10th or 11th, but you know, so they might be able to tread water without him when he comes back. Who knows how long it's going to take him to get back into the flow of things? So. I think it's going to hurt him. I mean, I don't think it'll take him out of contention, but I think it's going to drop him down.
So. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what they're going to do.
Is this the time for Paul George to step up? Boy with two first names?
Of course. I mean, this is actually
have you stepping up.
Yeah, this is actually Paul George's opportunity to, you know, become a household name, maybe.
Show us that he got some more than just some bunnies.
Yeah, and this is, you know, basically show us what everybody's saying about him, you know, what his potential is. It's time to show and prove. You got somebody down who plays the perimeter, you know, like you. I would look at it, if I was Paul George, as an opportunity to show everybody, you know, exactly what it is that he can do on an NBA court. James Harden, who we spoke about in depth last week when he lit the league on fire. He's slowing down a bit. You know, his last two games he had 24 points and 15 points respectively, but he still leads the league at 30.3 points per game. You fellas think that James Harden has a legitimate shot at winning the scoring title this year?
No.
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 Where you see him at, though? Where you see his average falling at? Like 22?
I mean, he
21?
Has a shot because he got the green light.
20, he's going to put up, he's going to get 24 to 26 a game. I'll give him that. I've kind of rethought it. I've watched him play. As Jimmy said,
right.
He's got the color of light that he has is another color. It's beyond green. Like, dude can shoot. He can sit on the bench and shoot if he wants in a game. Like, it's
crazy.
He
got the same color light Nick Young got.
Right,
better.
and but he's better. But he's better. He's
Give
better. So I do see him.
Light.
I see him in the top 10. He's definitely going to be in the top 10 in scoring. I think when you get to that top three, typically those guys are special. I mean, not that James Harden isn't special, but you know what I mean when I say special.
You mean Durant special? Durantula special?
Yeah. Durant
special,
Allen Iverson special, Kobe
special,
LeBron special.
So your special is Kobe, LeBron. Your three is Kobe, LeBron, and Durant, basically. You don't think he's going to get –
Melo special. Not that I think Melo will be top three because of the team
Melo
he plays on.
Melo volume special. Melo volume special.
He
get his volume on.
You said you don't think Melo will be top three in scoring?
I don't think he'll be top three, but I think he has that special quality where he could be. I don't think matter
what
you do.
I mean, that's where he is right now. He's third in the league in scoring behind Harden and Kobe Bryant.
That'll come down.
Talking about that Bernard King type special.
Yeah. Bernard King.
Saying that, but
Bernard King.
It's not that many scorers on the New York Knicks. I mean, why would it?
Then it's possible. So we go Kobe, LeBron, Durantula, Melo.
That Adrian Dantley type special, right?
No, I ain't talking about him.
Hold up, Adrian
Dantley
led the league in scoring twice, baby.
He did, but he ain't Bernard. Bernard could get 30 without shooting.
But here's my point. My point is sometimes
Bernard got
you don't have to
with
be,
no knee cartilage.
If Adrian Dantley leading in scoring, you know, he played for a bad team at the time, the Utah Jazz. We all know they stink. He played for a bad team and led the league in scoring. So it's possible to answer Dev's question.
The top five scorers in this league, universally, they can get their shots off and score against whoever defense. James Harden is going to have nights where he may go for 50, but I also think that there are people and design. There's defenses that can be designed to slow him down to the point where he'll have 10-point nights or 15-point nights.
The Nuggets did the other night.
Yeah.
You know, they started
I mean, of course, they, you know, it started and ended with Iguodala on them, but at the same time, you know, it was a team effort, and they held them to 15 points.
LeBron.
So you say, you're saying you see that, you know, more often than
I see that happening. Yeah, I see that happening. I see that happening from time to time. LeBron can get 30 if he decides to get 30. It doesn't matter if there's 10 men on the court checking him. He's going to get 30. He just can't. Durant is pretty much the same way. You know, Kobe is obviously the same way. The dude scored 81, even though we're 5-6 years removed from that. He can get 30. I didn't even know Kobe was top three in scoring. The way I look at the Lakers playing, I thought he was
he's probably seven.
But he's one of those dudes. He's one of those dudes. He just can get 30.
But the
I don't
Lakers
see
have two guys in the top five in the league in scoring right now, and they're 1-4. Kevin Durant, the three-time defending scoring champ, is 10th right now, averaging 20.8.
Because they have the boy doing what Harden was doing. They have him passing and running the offense.
And Russell Westbrook is averaging the exact same thing, 20.8.
He's probably mad at that.
And Kevin Martin, who took over for James Harden, is averaging 19.3.
Kevin can score,
it's
man.
It's interesting. Kevin Martin can score.
Kevin can score.
So as far as scoring goes, you know, they took care of what Harden does. But Kevin Martin is nowhere near
can't
the
run the
all-around
offense.
Player that
Yo,
Harden
no,
is. He's not going to run the offense. He's not going to play defense. So, you're getting off the bench what you got off the bench. I mean, you're getting more right now.
Scoring-wise.
I don't know how long
scoring
that's
going to
last. Yeah, scoring-wise, you're getting more off the bench from Martin so far. But I still don't think Martin alone can replace the impact that James Harden had in
Well, OKC. That's what Eric Maynard. That's what Eric Maynard is. They get it in two players, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and then whatever Jeremy Lamb brings to the table.
Right.
I really haven't got to see him play that much so far, but you know, see what the young boy.
Damian.
Can.
All I got
to say is fear the beard, man. That's it. Just fear.
Oh,
that
no
beard.
Doubt. Oh no!
Beard of beard and Lynn Sanity all in one arena. Houston's going to be exciting this year. Blazers rookie point guard Damian Lillard is averaging, after four NBA games, 19.3 points, 8 assists, and 3.8 rebounds. Do you guys think he's the real deal? I know Akil, who's not with us tonight, talked about this guy before the season even started and kind of told everybody to watch out for him.
He is everything that Norris Cole is, except much better. I'm reminded of a young Terrell Brandon with more range.
You talking rookie of the year material?
Ooh, no, I can't go that far, brother.
I don't think it's a stretch.
He could be in there.
I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think it's insulting to bring him up in that conversation. Not at all. But I don't think he'll be that.
Who you got?
Davis, the Unabomber, the Unibrower. Yeah, I got the Brow.
The Brow is probably the favorite going in, but I mean, if he keeps this up, and especially if they're formidable, I mean, assuming that they at least just make the playoffs, I think he could be in there, man. I mean, dude is a nice guard, like you said. I like his game
tough.
Because
he's
he has
tough.
The control, but he also has explosion, and he seems to make
he
decent
does.
Decisions with the ball. And that's good for a rookie, you know, that's impressive for a rookie, so. I don't know. I like watching you play. And it should be interesting tonight against CP3 on TNT tonight at 10:30 and see what he does.
He's hard-nosed. He ain't scared.
Y'all going to think I'm crazy, but that's exactly who he reminds me of. Watching him play is like watching a young CP3 play. Like, this is very similar to the way they control the game. Like, you know, it's just – that's why I'm anxious to see them two go at it. You know,
I mean, I don't think you're crazy. I mean, the dude looks like he has the potential to, you know, maybe one day step into that realm as one of the top point guards in the league.
I think
of course,
he's,
that's
a
four game. We can't give him that distinction.
When you watch CP3
more explosion.
It's something about the way he controls the game. It's like there's no way you can measure it, like, on numbers. But watching him play the game of basketball is like a joy and a privilege because he controls the tempo of the game all the time.
He's an absolute general. On the floor.
Yeah, he is. I think Lillard.
You're right.
I think
he's
Lillard
responsible
is a better...
for whatever's going on for his team. He's responsible for it in some way.
He's like the anti-Donovan McNabb. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think, oh, man. I think Lillard is a better, he's a better athlete than CP3.
Yeah, that ain't hard
to
do.
You don't like
me.
Athletes, though. Yeah. You said you like guys that play, you know, play above the shoulder, so to speak.
You like the Sam Cassells. Like
yeah, you a Timberwolves fan.
Nah, I can take it. I can take it or leave it. I mean, Michael Jordan was an athlete. AI was nothing but an athlete. I like athletes, but I think too much is put into or based on a player's athleticism as opposed to the cerebral parts of the game.
And real quick, in our chat room, shout out to the Broad Street Don. They said that it's not a stretch, but Anthony Davis would have to fall off something crazy for Lillard to win. They think that Anthony Davis is the favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree. But, you know, I think the dude is going to be heard from when it's all said and done. And you know how it goes sometimes. It's going to depend on impact. These days,
they
like base individual awards on what your team is doing and stuff like that.
How about the co-rookie of the year?
So they might do a Kid Grant Hill type thing.
Kid Grant Hill type thing, yeah.
And, who else got that? Didn't
Kid Grant Hill. Somebody more recent than them.
Chicago Bulls. Didn't Elton Brand share it with somebody?
You know, it's crazy thinking back, but yeah, it was Elton Brand and
I'm
gonna
voice
these on those. Who did Elton Brand share the rookie
I don't
of the
what
year
with?
You know.
Yeah. Either way, right. Yeah, I think Youngin gonna have something to say about it when it's all said and done. Hey Jimmy, I know you were you were off screening calls when we were talking about your Lakers, man. I know you think the defense is horrendous and y'all dead last in the conference right now. You're not ready to count them out yet, are you?
I'm not counting them out, but just to give an answer to the question, the boy she done looked out, it was Elton Brand and Steve Francis.
There you go.
Francis.
Elton Brand and Smokey.
You refuse to go to Vancouver.
Elton Brand and Smokey.
Yeah, but in terms
of Sweetie.
It's kind of difficult watching them play, yo. I watch every minute of every game, and what I just talked about with CP3 is what they're missing. They have never controlled the tempo of any – even the game they won, they didn't control the tempo of the game. And
well, their floor general is hurt, but even when he was playing –
even
when
he
was playing
– he was being neutered, so what's the difference?
Yeah. When he was playing, they were running that Princeton offense, so they were basically taking the ball out of his hand. I didn't watch the game last night. So what was the scowl that Kobe gave to Mike Brown about? What was that about?
Daggers through his pupil, cornea, and retina. Retinal daggers. My fault. Go ahead.
Towards the end of the game, I don't know what was said or what happened in the sideline, but Kobe started looking at Mike Brown like, "Yo, if looks could kill, man, we can attend Mike Brown's wake very soon." That's all I'm gonna say. And you know,
I know Jerry
Buss. Way I feel.
The buses said that he's safe. So I mean I don't know their history.
You know what that means.
Yeah, about that, I don't know their history. I don't know if that's the kiss of death or what. But I'm trying to think, like at 34 and 16 years in the league, does Kobe still have the power to even get a coach fired? You think?
I don't know, but here's the thing, and it's all rumor and speculation, but that's what we like to do. Initially, remember when Dwight said he didn't want to be a Laker? Mm-hmm. Some of the speculation at that time was because he didn't want to play for Mike Brown. So if Dwight Howard is going to be the future, he may have that leverage too to say, listen, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to sign on, I mean, I don't want this guy. You know what I mean? So that may
shoot,
be too.
I think Dwight Howard actually holds the most power on the team right now.
Probably.
Absolutely.
He's trying to play because, you know, he's working on his image after all the stuff that happened with him and, you know, his free agency and the not free agency and just all that stuff. I think he's working on his image right now. So he's actually out there saying that, you know, Kobe he needs to temper his frustration. So he's out there trying to say the right things. But I do think, like what you just said, Jimmy, I think if he turned around and showed frustration towards the coach just like Kobe, I think that would go a long way into – you know, getting a change made. Not that I condone it.
Man.
You know, I hate when players.
It'd be funny.
You know,
it'd be funny if they got rid of him
fired,
and Brooke Van Gundy. Wouldn't it be funny if they got rid of him and Brooke Van Gundy?
Stan.
You know, it'd be funny for you, man. Not even funny. I was sitting there thinking about it today. I said, yo, And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about this when I was watching the Grocery Line, one of the videos they had in speaking with Rhea Hughes, where Mike Brown has had the opportunity to coach LeBron, Kobe, and Dwight Howard. Like, look at the opportunity this dude is getting.
Exactly. I mean, we were just arguing with somebody last week about him being so good, but come on, man. You don't have to be a genius when LeBron James is on your team or Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol and Steve Nash at the same time, and you're still starting out.
The refs are cheating against Mike Brown because he's black, so they don't want to see him win. And so they're trying to keep the black man down, and no one's giving Mike Brown the respect
he deserves
as an African-American coach.
Hey, clear that.
Yeah.
You know,
remember, we got new listeners tonight, so.
Yeah. He's
yo.
Good.
Yeah. He,
yo,
you know,
I'm being completely facetious.
Because we run into the race card.
I will honestly say, new listeners, old listeners, if you listen to the show very intently through the course of the next 6 to 8 months of your life, and hopefully forever after, you will find that there are better coaching minds on this show than Mike Brown has.
Here's my solution right now, gentlemen. My solution is the Lakers get rid of Mike Brown and let Mike Brown go coach in Minnesota. Boom.
We'll see how good he is. Because Mike Brown can get a job anywhere.
Hold on,
Ben.
Not just to see how good he is, but doesn't that solve their problem of their little rape issue in Minnesota?
Yeah, you hired a black guy.
But we know
he can get a job anywhere because his interview skills have to be superior.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know what Jerry Sloan doing right now, man?
Somewhere on the farm and leading the Mormon mission somewhere. I don't know.
He look like he probably sitting on a wooden porch somewhere, like with a piece of straw in his mouth and spitting. He just looking
mm-hmm.
like
spitting tobacco,
scratching his
Darren,
backy.
Darren Williams, Darren Williams ran him out the league.
Right,
man,
so,
but I think it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season. I think all of us are in agreement when we made our picks. But
is a 45 win season a failure for the Lakers?
Depends upon whether they make the playoffs
or
what happens then.
Depends on what they do afterwards.
If the Lakers won 68 games and made it to the playoffs and lost in the first round, that's a failure. They're just different than most teams, man. Doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter.
They win 45 and then turn it up in the playoffs, then nobody's going to care. Nobody's even going to remember that they won 45 games.
Nobody's going to remember that scowl that Mike Brown got in November.
If he's around for all that. If he's still around for all that.
So here's my concern, Dev.
Okay.
My last concern. The Lakers head assistant coach is, your man, the old Sixers coach, Eddie Jordan.
Sometimes
when they fire the coach, they let the top assistant become the head coach. So
that means the Pistons offense is going to get even stronger.
The Pistons!
They
got to
fire both of them.
Yeah. They would probably make him like, yo, you out and take your whole crew with you. But it's time for us to get. Wrong joint.
Out of here.
Don't have his
Yo. I love live radio. This has been a crazy show, by the way, y'all.
Hey, Jim, that soundbite was a swing and a miss.
Yo, was it ever? Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, family. Shout out to everyone in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, all the callers who chimed in. Shout out to Chill Moody for joining us to talk some hip-hop and sports. And also the special call-in from the homie E-Ness to call in and talk some battle rap. And also, of course, Robert Klemko from USA Today. Shout out to him. He called in to talk some football. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. Next week, we'll have ESPN writer and personality Jemele Hill joining us to talk about some major stories in the world of sports. Until then, enjoy your time in between shows. Of course, catch the podcast on iTunes. And until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and continue the war against ignorance. We out of here.
Then to know that Reverend Al Green was here.
Maybe it's the way we ride, maybe it's the way you ride, girl.
blow with before I plant a seed. Need someone that I can grow with. Someone to start my days with and hold when the night comes. They say no good girls left. I found the right one. Someone to chill with and make a couple chills with. You know how that go. I'm never letting that go. The type of smile I can spot in the back show. It don't matter. She play that front or the back row. Call her my backbone. Behind every strong man, the stronger woman. And he's the cherishing romance. Ain't taking no chance in losing you. I'm staying true to you as usual. Karma comes around like a hula hoop. But we'll maneuver through the trials and the trips. 2 miles down the road is the house with some kids. Thought I'd be single forever and got comfortable. Then you appeared. Be aware I'm so in love with you. Nothing. Call it a flaw, we all got them. The sooner that we spot them, reroute them, so they no longer a problem. She ain't riding, cause I'm expected to blow. Honestly, could care less, I'm finessing the flow. Yeah, that's special, impressive, I know. I hold it like my last breath. No chance of never letting her go, no. No time for second guesses. In all reality, what I suggest is you start working on your guest list. It's precious, picking out dresses and other nice things. Never expected to play them all in price rings. Nothing like the spontaneity that life brings. You feeling like you've been through it all. Got your past giving chase. Need someone that you can run to. My pride's at the finish line. I'm so in love with you.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.